Hey, this is Adam Penapinto. I'm the pastor here at Hope Covenant Church, and I'm so glad that you're joining with us today. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a part of our Hope Covenant Church family, we would love to connect with you via social media on all social media outlets or on our website, hopecovenant.cc. I hope this word encourages, inspires, and challenges you in your daily walk with God as we dig deeper into His Word. Let's jump right into today's message. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Psalms 46, verse 10 to 11 in the New King James and the Passion Translation, I want to read this and want to encourage you today. There's a lot going on in the world. It can look like a heavy time in the natural. I'm excited to see what happens in Israel. I believe it's tomorrow. In fact, let's pray for Israel. Father, we just right now pray that everything would go smooth tomorrow, that all these hostages would be released in Jesus' name. We pray protection. We pray for Israel. Lord, we stand with Israel because it says in your word, a friend of Israel is a friend of yours. And so, Father, we want to befriend you right now and pray a blessing over that nation right now. Lord, we thank you for peace in all parties. And we thank you, Lord, that there would be just a supernatural anointing on that whole process in Jesus' name. Protection over every military officer, over every person involved in this process. Jesus, your hand on it. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Where I was going with that is that right now in the world, there's a lot of turbulence and there's a lot of things that are happening. And the scripture is so clear that in the last days that men's hearts, women's hearts, people's hearts will fail them because of fear. And so I want to hit this, be still and know is the title of this message. And it's a two-part message, be still and know. Oftentimes our mind goes to a position of peace when we think of be still and know. And that's good. I already did a message on peace. I want to encourage you, though, that it is impossible to be in a position of peace without being in a position of confidence. And so I'm hitting this from a position of know confidently that He is God in the middle of what we're looking at. How many of you know God's in control? Look at the person next to you. Say He's in control. Yeah, and so Psalms 46, verse 10 to 11, I'm going to read it out of the New King James, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. We're going to see that tomorrow, amen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. I want to remind you when you're in a position where your mind starts to get in a position of fear, we need to go and look at scripture and say, the Lord of hosts is with us. Why am I afraid? If my God is for me, what can stand against me? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I love the word refuge. What is a refuge? It's where we go to be safe. So what are we worried about? What are we worried about? The Passion Translation says it like this, surrender your anxiety. I love that. Be still and realize, in other words, recognize, let your mind catch up with this, that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. He stands the commander. I love this. This is where it gets authoritative right here. He stands the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Let's pause in His presence. Now, you've noticed over the past several months that I've been pushing really hard on spending time with the Lord. I want to encourage you, your mind gets cleared out when you pause in His presence. It's funny because when I lead moments like today, I turn the pad down and on the piano and just piano, and we were still for a minute. And I love watching in moments of stillness, there's two different types of reactions that happen. One is reverence and honor, and I'm connecting with you, Father. And the other is restless, and I have not done this in a long time. If ever, I don't know what to do right now. Now, I celebrate both. Here's why I celebrate it. For those of you that do this on the reg and you worship and you're still before the Lord and you allow the Lord to speak to you, you know what that's like, and this is a good exercise to just continue it. For those of you that have never done it before, it's a moment where you can have an aha revelation with God because you experience God. How many of you know, be still and know, it is impossible to know something that you don't experience? And there is a generation, I've been talking about this for the past couple of weeks, that there's a generation that does not want to hear about God. Don't teach me about this man. Introduce me to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that you say is in this room right now. Prove it. Well, how do we prove it? You be still and know that he is God. There's amazing things that happen in the presence of the Lord, and it's a revelation of who he is that happens when you encounter him. I pray every week on the way in, Father, let this not be a song service. I don't want to do this out of this habitual sort of it's Sunday. It's our religious day to just worship and sing these songs. No, this is a moment where we can have a life-changing encounter. That's where transformation happens, is when we are still and we know that he is God. But over our finances and over our health and over our circumstances and situations and loss and grief, and I don't know what to do. But listen, this is a moment. It requires trust to say, Father, I'm going to be still. I'm going to silence my mind, and I'm going to know that you are God in this moment. When times are good, you're good. When times are bad, you're still good. Now, if you would turn in your Bible to Habakkuk 2, verse 3. This was something the Lord gave me on the way here. This is for all of you single people that are seeking God for a spouse. This is for all of you people who are seeking God for something that you've not seen before. And you're saying, I keep reading about your promise, and I keep having to shake discouragement repeatedly. And Father, I don't know what to do. Well, Scripture gives us the answer. In Habakkuk 2, verse 3, I'm going to read this again out of the King James and then out of the NIV. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everybody say appointed time. Appointed time. What is an appointed time? When it comes from God, it's a time that we're usually unfamiliar with, that is ordained by God and only God, that the only way to really know is to exercise faith, which is something we don't see, and say, God, I trust you. And God gives us these opportunities that he's talking about here in Habakkuk 2, 3, to exercise our faith. These are designed for our growth and for our character, that in the waiting, we can be still and know that he's up to something. Because he's God and his promises are yes and amen. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Your spouse is yet for an appointed time. Your job promotion is yet for an appointed time. The vision that God has given you that you have not seen yet come is for an appointed time. Oh, I know this is God. Well, then be still and know. Dot, dot, dot. We say it all the time. I know the Lord gave me this vision, but when? Be still and know. Where is the man I'm supposed to marry? Where's the woman I'm supposed to? Be still and know. Do you think God overlooked you? He created you and fashioned you and formed you uniquely, you in his image. Do you think he forgot about his good product? That is you? Oh, that felt like a hug. I didn't get an amen loud enough. Is that good?
Amen.
Well, good. Y'all are here. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait. Wait, wait, wait. Wait for it. That might mean be still. I hate waiting. I hate waiting. I hate waiting. God, I hate waiting. God, I don't like it. Why don't I like it? Because I'm fleshly. But when I get into the Spirit, all of a sudden something changes. It's called transformation, where what used to be miserable waiting now becomes pleasurable worship. And all of a sudden, God starts to do something in me where I start to sense His presence. And all of a sudden, this weird sort of a confidence that I never had before comes out of the middle of nowhere and does this. And I go, what was that? I enjoyed waiting. That was weird. Perhaps God gave me the desires of His heart. Perhaps I'm catching something called the Holy Ghost. And there's a transformation. And there's a mold. I'm preaching better than y'all are hollering at me today. This is good stuff. Y'all who are waiting for some stuff right now need to holler at me. Wave your hands in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. Wait for it. Oh, the control freak goes, no. I'm going to try to make this happen. Okay, well, there's a round the mountain experience for you. Are you tired of seeing that bush? Because I'm sick of that bush. I've been around this trail, and that bush, it bit me the first time. It's a cactus. I hate it. I don't want to see you again. How do I stop going around the mountain? I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. I know I'm preaching to somebody that thinks you're in control. We're songwriting this morning. I feel the Lord. Because surely it will come. It will not tarry. Surely it will come. It will not tarry. Surely it will come. How do you know? Because the Bible has no flaws.
That's right.
And it says that if I would confidently wait on Him, surely it will come. We could all go to Denny's now. This is good. Let me read this out of the NIV. It says, for the revelation awaits for an appointed time. What does that mean? For the revelation awaits an appointed time. When we get the revelation that God is up to something in that Saturday moment when He died on Friday, in the Saturday moment, we go, what happened on Saturday when it was silent and everybody was grieving and the keys were getting stolen from the devil out of hell? Remember that moment? Like big stuff was going on in the background that we couldn't see.
Yeah, that's right.
That actually like turned out to be a real salvation moment for us.
Yes.
Maybe God's trying to save you by the appointed time. Because maybe it would kill you if it happened right now. Did you ever think about that? I keep telling God, Lord, I know Hope Covenant Church is going to be a massive thing. Anybody know that with me?
Yes.
Need just like two or three gathered in this place to say, yeah, amen.
Amen.
But I've changed my prayer. It used to be God when. That's not my prayer anymore. Now my prayer is, God, I thank You for where we're at. That won't kill me because it's the moment You destined for right now. And you know what's happening? There's a building being built right now prepared for us that is going to blow our minds. There's a building project happening, and I'm going to accept it free of charge. I don't know why you're laughing. I actually meant that. I'm waiting on a miracle. Are you so confident that God's going to do this miracle of His promise that He sent to you that no matter what it looks like, you go, I don't care what it looks like in the natural. That's not faith to look at it in the natural. I'm going to look at this in the Spirit, and I'm going to thank You, God, that You're fixing my marriage and that You're setting me up with my spouse and that You're working all things together for the good according to those that love You. I love You. I love You. I love You. I love You. What am I going to do? I'm going to be still, and I'm going to love You. And I'm gonna know. I'm gonna know. There is something about going, God, I can't do this, that pleases the Lord. He goes, no, you can't. And the fact that you're relying on me is lovely. Would you just stay there? Would you just stay there? Would you just be still and just know, pause in his presence? Well, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. What you think is a delay is an appointed time. It's an appointed time. What do I do in the interim? Be still and know that your appointed time is on the way. Is this encouraging anybody today? Because we all have vision. I hope you have vision. That's bigger than what you can do. The best way to exercise faith is be still and know that he is God. If God said it, that settles it. And it's also not your problem. If God said it and spoke it to you and it ignited something in you, it's the Lord's problem, not yours, to work it out. And it's so much easier to go, God, I'm just going to be still and thank you for what you're doing that I can't see, but I can sense. Some of you need to get your senses up. How do I get my, what do you mean when you can't see, but you can sense? It means you can feel the wind of his spirit working things out. You can discern it. Where do I discern it? In his stillness, in his presence. And that becomes a knowledge that it's on its way. This is not like a potluck, sort of a guessing sort of a game that we're playing here. This is not superstition. This is knowing. Yeah. We're not playing the lottery of the Holy Ghost going, okay, what are my lucky numbers today? 777. We try to spiritualize superstition. Listen, that's demonic. This is not superstition. This is a knowledge that God's up to something. That's Holy Ghost. Romans 4, verses 19 to 22. Let's read this out of the New Living. We're all familiar with this story, but it's so good, it's worth saying again. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb, 100 years old. Probably not a good time to have a kid in the natural. But Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. What a freak. 100 years old, and you think you got it. What? Homeboy went to too many marriage seminars. But he never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Could you imagine if the longer time went by and we didn't see it, our faith grew stronger? That only happens in the stillness when we know. I think he knew what it was like to be still and know. He was fully convinced. Oh, that's a big part of it. He was fully convinced that God didn't mess up and that he's able to do what he promises. Why is it that we get caught off guard and get derailed so quickly when we don't see it right away? Because there is a constant battle between spirit and flesh. And flesh loves to get in there and lie to you and tell you, well, I guess it wasn't God. I guess you just had bad pepperoni on your pizza. I guess that's all that was. You were just hearing you. That's your desire. That's not God's desire. Or devil, you're a liar. Shut up. That's right. I'm going to be still and know and take authority over these racing, ungodly, stupid thoughts. I'm fully convinced that God is able to do what he promises. And I know it was God. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. Do you know that's called righteousness according to the Lord? When you're still and you know and you're fully convinced. God goes, oh, I can breathe on that because it's righteous. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Him and her with clean hands and a pure heart. That's righteous. Oh, God can breathe on that now. There's a miracle in the working. Paul wrote this again. That was Paul's talking. And can I tell you what's so amazing about what we just read in Romans? That was Paul that wrote that. Did you know that Abraham's faith actually encouraged Paul?
Yep, that's right.
That's good theology. So I hope somebody's learning today. This is good stuff. Paul was fueled by Abraham's faith. Oh, I want Abraham's anointing that I fuel somebody when I'm still and I know that he's God. They go, if God's going to do it for Adam, he could do it for me.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Ooh, Abraham was a leader because he was fully convinced that God's promises are yes and amen.
Yes.
You don't know who you're affecting by your faith, your crazy faith. It'll affect a generation.
Yeah.
You go, oh, this is about more than just me.
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's God.
Always.
Oh, I'm fully convinced.
Amen.
And Paul wrote this, Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Ha! That's funny. For we know that they can help us develop endurance.
Yes.
Some of y'all go, I wasn't looking to develop endurance. Don't want to exercise today. I'm good. I'm looking at that Peloton bike in my bedroom going, I don't know about endurance. We can wait for tomorrow. But no. He rewards those that seek him with diligence.
Yes, he does.
See, this doesn't mean that you do nothing. That's not what I mean by be still. It doesn't mean do nothing. It doesn't mean this isn't a verb where we're actually practicing this. It means that we are making time for God to get a hold of us so that when we do move, when there is motion, we could say, it was God inspired because I was connected to him and I knew it was him, and so I moved. You catching that? This is a godly thing. So we too can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength and character. And character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. And this expectation will not lead to disappointment. I could throw this mic, just drop it right here and go home right now. Why are we so disappointed? Well, God. It's like Hope. I'll give you a little story. Hope is learning about her emotions, and we're teaching her how to like rein them in, and it's okay. It's good, buddy. But we oftentimes start mourning things when we need to be in a position where we recognize God's doing something in us. He's preparing us. I'm trying to allow Hope to experience some disappointments. My mom bought her this thing. It's called a camper bus and Minnie Mouse. She loves it. She loves it. She loves it. But my daughter is a negotiator, and she always wants to take it home. It's actually for, we call her Gaga. That's what my daughter calls her. I don't call her that. Just want to clarify. But she wants to take it home all the time, and so sometimes we'll let her. And then, you know, we put her in the car. I think it might have been last night or the night before. And she was like, well, I want this and I want that. And I said, I want $1 million. We all want stuff, girl. You're not going to get everything you want. What is that doing? It's establishing character. I want my spouse. God, where's my spouse? Where's my Minnie Mouse camper bus? Says my 2-year-old. Where is it? Where's my raise? Where's my promotion? Where's my ministry? Where am I? I'm looking at the stock market. God, what's going on with my assets? Would you be still and know that he's God? Would you quit it? Stop being a 2-year-old. Verse 5. It's not going to lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. Listen, he's not playing games with you, and he's establishing things in you.
That's right.
He's not jerking you around. He's developing you.
Mm-hmm.
We know that God dearly loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. In a moment where you are waiting, in a moment where you are still and you pause, because we are going to get frustrated. We are going to battle flesh. I battle flesh every minute of every day. We all do. There's two types of people, those that are honest about it and those that aren't. We all have racing minds. We all battle anxiety, anxious thoughts. We all battle fear coming at us. The battle is okay. Are you winning the battle because you're walking in authority? How do I walk in authority? You are still and you know that he's God.
That's right.
Good. And I'm going to give some more tactics next week. But I want to encourage you to survey your heart in a moment where you are so desperately longing for something, and know that if you're longing for it, it's probably because God put it there. And it's probably okay. Well, it's definitely okay, but it's probably appointed for a certain time that's developing you. You could be sure about it because Scripture says it. And stop worrying about the timing and start trusting in the Lord, and watch how quick the timing moves when you do that. There's a moment right now. It's a moment to be still and be confident. There's so many things trying to rob our confidence. It's called the enemy. And next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about a spirit of deception, because there's a spirit of deception right now that's coming to rob confidence and peace too. And I'm going to get into some dicey things next week that I'm really excited about. And I'm going to actually identify some of them, because as your pastor, how many of you know when I see some things happening in the practical, I've got to address them to prepare you, because we're living in a day where things can get really confusing if you're not looking at things through the lens of Scripture. Remember, God does not bring confusion. He brings calm and revelation in chaos, and he turns chaos into peace. And we know that in order to get to a place of confident peace, peace that comes from our confidence in you, we have to be still, we have to pause, and know that you are God. I speak life right now over every person that's struggling, over your timing, over your appointments, over provision, where we pause. We say, you're God. And we repent for this morning. We repent for trying to figure this out in our own intellect. We repent for busyness where we should have been just still. We know that you're God. We know that you're God. Father, I declare peace over every racing mind. Every anxious thought. Lord, we repent for entertaining those. We thank you, Lord, for your peace. We thank you that you're in control. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. That's so good. I'm here to tell you that the Lord sees you. He sees your calling. It's actually his calling that he placed on you. He's never early, but he's never late. Lord, we repent for even saying, God, where are you? Are you late? No. No, you're right on time. We thank you for your divine appointment. Lord, we ask for your anointing this week. Your peace that surpasses our ability to even understand. Lord, we thank you. Revelation and understanding, that's up to you. You tell us when you want to tell us. We just trust you. Could you just say out loud, Father, I trust you.
Father, I trust you.
I trust you. Yeah. How many of you can lift your hand and say, God's developing some things in me right now? If you don't have your hand up, I'm going to check your heartbeat. This is good stuff. It's good stuff. How many of you felt the Lord this morning? Man, I felt him so much, I felt like I could give him a handshake in front of y'all. I really did. I felt the Lord this morning. God is shifting some things at this church, and it's not that we're more important than anybody else, but we're just following the leading of his Spirit. I said it to the staff this morning, our team. I like the word team. We're not a staff, we're a team. I said it to the team this morning. I said, God's doing some things where I just am so excited. I love the Lord. If you're not excited, just be still and know and watch how you get excited. It's so good. So good. Father, I thank you for an anointed, appointed, directed week by you. Put people in front of us that need to feel your love, that need to experience your love, that need to encounter your love, that need the salvation of your love. Lord, use us this week for your glory with every person, every appointment. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, would you shout amen? If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it and share it on social media or jump onto our website, hopecovenant.cc, and click on our giving link and help us continue to share the message of Jesus across the world. God bless you and have an awesome weekend.